Hey everyone, welcome back to the Challenge Fandom Podcast for the second time. We got another episode of Trash Talk Roundtable. We're going to be breaking down the final of the Challenge USA 2, The Pursuit of Glory, or as we like to call it, Venegasi.
Venegasi.
Shout out to Corey, man. He watched The Sopranos or something. Yeah.
Dude, the way that they all just ran with it, too, right there in that moment.
That was perfect.
Perfect. anyways, got myself Ricky Hayes, my beautiful wife, Karina Hayes. We got Tony Lance, Josh Chambers, and a very, very special guest to help us break down this final. The champion of the Challenge USA 1, second place, should have really been first place on the Challenge World Championship.
I'll take that.
You know him from Survivor 41 as well. If you want the really elaborate, you know, intro for Danny, go listen to our last interview. But of course, Danny McCray.
Oh yeah, welcome.
Yeah, man. Listen, I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back into the challenge realm. I get to talk about Desi, who I love. She deserved better on the USA one. And then Chris came in as a survivor guy, the only survivor guy in the final, and the way that he fought to get there, doing it for his family and stuff. So I can relate. So, listen, I'm excited to talk about those two and then, you know, a few others as well, because, you know, I got some friends on the cast.
Love it.
Absolutely.
Love it, man. Look, on the female side, one of the strongest four finalists I've ever seen run in an individual final.
Yeah.
On the men's side, I think two out of the four were really strong.
Like, I agree.
Competitors in this, the other two are that's a different story, but I am really happy, like, kind of like my overall view of this episode. I am extremely happy with who won this.
Yes.
I think it was, we said it earlier, like with the challenge karma gods that got Josh, this felt like the karma gods coming back and repaying, you know, this service to Desi, and then also giving Chris that kind of, you know, redemption or that
reassurance,
show that he is a champion, not only of the challenge, but Survivor.
Right.
And you know what? I loved it.
He's a champ, man, but that social game is a little
rough. He's a little bit of work.
He's not Tyson. I'll put that out there.
Listen, as you watch the show, you're like, oh, he thinks he knows what's going on. He got it. He's playing the middle. He got friends on both sides. Uh-huh. And then you just watch the season and you're like, okay, all right. He has no idea.
He's just going to roll with it, though.
Yeah. But he fought, though, you know, with the chip stacked against him, back against the wall. Like, that's how you have to do it if things don't go your way. And sometimes it happens that way. So shout out to him because that's rough. It's rough, and he made it happen.
You have to play the cards that are dealt to you, and he did.
What's the game when you like when you get five cards? What's the type of poker, and you could throw a few back in?
Yeah, five card stud. Five card.
Yeah. No. See. Okay. Yeah. The cards you dealt. Okay. He threw some back in.
He threw a couple. Yeah.
Should have kept the ones he had at the beginning.
He should just held on to all those.
You should have kept on to the survivor people, man.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and I think kind of like an overall like arching theme of this is the fact that they were dealt a hand in this final that we don't like. Mm-hmm. But I can't fault anyone who did it because played the game that was presented to them and won it. You know what I mean? So my issues is really more along the lines that I have with this episode is how production set up the final. Not how it was ran by the contestants.
Design more than, execution. Yeah.
This is the Chris Underwood story because the exact same thing happened with the Survivor season where everyone's like, look, he played the game that he was given because of the things that were put in place and the twists and everything else, and he came out on top. And then Chris is like, I did it. I'm a challenger. I'm a survivor. And now everyone's talking about, well, the final wasn't really what we thought it was going to be, but the way that it was done, he won. He can't win.
I'm sure there were some things we didn't see just based off my experience on this, some stuff we didn't see that they probably had to do. But at the end of the day, like you always, like after a show is over, especially the CBS version, all the MTV fans come out and are like, oh, yeah, I've seen harder finals and this and that and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
every final is hard.
Oh yeah.
Every single one of them. Every single one of them is hard. They cut a lot of stuff out of it. And the way that Chris performed in each part of the final was impressive. Like, he started off against a Corey who is strong, Fessy who is strong, Bananas who has won a lot. Like, he went against some of the best guys as far as especially physical.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And he made it happen. He did it all season. Like, it wasn't just a one time thing. He did it all season, so you can expect him to be in that running, and you know, and it worked out for him. So I'm excited for him. Like I said, I just wish he would have just, you know, took the easy route, stuck with the Survivor people. But you know, you got to play your own game.
We might have had like a 7 or 8 Survivor final.
You could have for sure.
And that's my thing. Like, I don't really look at it the way, like, kind of how you were putting it, Tony. Mine is more or less like, I think you throw him in any final against these four guys, he probably still wins, because I think he was the best overall player. He was the best, most well-rounded of any of the other guys there. So to me, it's really just on production. They made a weird final. That's all it was to me. But go ahead.
For me, it was like, it wasn't even necessarily the different things that they did. It was certain things that they didn't do that I was like,
well, Danny talked about it, you know, even with his experience, and we know about it. We were talking with some fans online that there hasn't been a full final aired since Free Agents. They always cut stuff out for whatever reason. Right. You know what I mean? And they did it with this one. We know for a fact we didn't get an overnight portion, and they had to do one.
We didn't see an overnight portion, but they did do one. Yes.
So,
but I was more referring to, we'll get into it as we get into the.
Fair.
Yeah.
All right. So
I guess we can just dive right in, just like the challenge. They didn't give us an intro or anything. They were just like, boom, right in. Let's go.
I do want to say that with Survivor and everything being 90 minutes, I really felt like they should have given this final 90 minutes.
I feel like we would have been able to see that overnight portion.
It felt super rushed.
Well, they would have left it out for something else, but they had the opportunity with 90 minutes.
I just want to also say, like, it's just funny to me that they didn't show us the overnight challenge, but they made sure to show us that the survivors still know how to start a fire. I'm like, we already know they can do this. Let's move on. Let's see the challenge. Okay.
It's a kumbaya moment.
Yeah. It was.
Oh,
Johnny, grab your guitar. It was like, oh, let's not do that one. Yeah, we don't need that one for the air.
No.
But so it did feel like we didn't get the intros like we normally do, as far as like, you know, oh, this is what I went through this through the whole season.
Kind of even just the buildup, you know, like normally we'll get like the first like few minutes of like the final episode is like, you know, everybody around the house and you can like feel the anticipation and everybody's packing and, you know, or that one last party night before you start getting ready for the final, or, you know, like the little conversations and everybody's all jittery, like just that build up to the final. But it was just boom, right in. It was just kind of
even at the plane ride on USA One, where everybody was like super close quarters and doing all that footage of everybody goofing around. But then, like, here's the challenge.
Yeah.
First time being on a private jet, that was the smallest private jet I've ever been on in my dang life. I'm talking about, you had to pee on your knees. I was like, goodness gracious, yeah. Duck down, get in there. I was like, oh, this is not how I want my first experience to be. But no, yeah, the build up to it and letting everybody know that, yeah, we are here at the final was, it felt like it was just another challenge the way they walked in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
So you had a private jet that was private because it only fit one.
He was cooped up in there with Enzo, scared as hell, thinking we was gonna have to skydive
somewhere. Oh my gosh.
Low key, I do wonder if Enzo watched this final.
I do wonder that.
But that's a whole nother story. Since they jump right into it, it did feel like a daily. And look, that's one of my biggest complaints about this challenge or this final, is that the whole first day just felt like five like dailies. It didn't feel like a final. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like,
well, like, what was the daily that they did earlier in the season where it was literally like the four little stops that you had to do with your team? And remember, you had to carry the big thing, and you had the four different puzzle checkpoints along the way. Like, that's what it felt like to me, except they didn't have to run in between the checkpoints on the final.
I will say this. It looked more like the first challenge that we did on Worlds,
when
the MVPs just had to had to go where it was specific stations, and you go there, except they didn't stop in between each one. You just
kept going,
you know, got to keep going. But it was more like that. We're going to test everything, your strength, your puzzle skills and all that stuff, and then see how it goes. It was fun to watch, though. The spelling is always fun versus just seeing people just running. I enjoyed it as much as I could, but I did watch it and say, you know, this first day is kind of easy looking.
Yeah. I liked that they tested the different stuff. Like, I liked that they tested the different components of what people say, like, makes a challenger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was weird to have, like, the stop and start. I still enjoyed it, but you almost couldn't build that momentum of this is the actual final because, like you said, like, because of how it was broken up, it did feel sort of like daily.
Yeah.
But I still liked it. I mean, it's hard for me to complain when you've got that many survivors in the final. Like, I'm going to be happy regardless.
I think the easiest solution is make them run a quarter mile between checkpoints. Yeah. And then it feels like a final at that point.
And it feels like a race.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, loops of hell. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, look, like, I feel, we actually said this because we obviously knowing you were going to come on, I was like, I wonder if Danny's kind of upset. Like, he had to run some fucked up finals. And then he's watching this one. He's like, the whole first day is just checkpoints. That's it.
I could have killed this.
Listen, you know what? Like, looking back on it, I'm happy I did it because there is no other place or no other time where I would have done the loops of hell.
Yeah,
you know, going up a waterfall and down, swimming and doing all that stuff. Just the bike. I wish they would have had a bike riding part on there. Since they had it on, I was put a bike riding or take it off ours or take it off theirs.
I'm gonna throw this out there. If Danny's on this season, Danny wins this final. If he makes this final, he wins it easily.
Yeah,
I think it's down to you or Chris.
I think it's
easily. Dude, the first thing is the sled pull. Come on, that's football 101.
Because I respect the other competitors on there, and I've never thrown an axe, but I think I could land it. I don't know easily. I think I would have had a good shot.
Fair enough.
I think it definitely would have came down to you and Chris. Yeah.
Yes.
So the one part I did really like about this beginning is the ability to do that double down that we were talking about earlier, where you could say, like, I'm going to win this. And if you do, you get like a 2-minute advantage. Mm-hmm. And it could have really played out well. Like, if Chris, you know, Chris could have used it at like 2 or 3 stages.
He didn't use it at all, did he? Or no, he did for the spelling.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
He was a middle school champion.
That's right.
I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah. So
7th grade.
You learn something new every fucking day. You know what I mean?
Love it.
Like that. I was surprised that Corey came in dead last on the strength. I thought maybe not first, but second. Oh, you know what I mean?
God, man.
I think he tried to do three. He tried to pull three of his boxes the first time.
He did.
And Chris started the trend of doing it with two.
It's just like those things are tricky. And I think when you're in the final, what happens to some people is that you're like, okay, this is mine. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give it everything I got now.
Yeah.
And then you forget that, you know, there's more or it's not meant for like really, it's like most of that stuff is not meant for like the strongest person to win.
Right.
Like there is some thought that has to go into it and then some strategy. And that's what it was like the chain when we pulled on ours. It wasn't just about strength. It was about the strategy of pulling that whole chain down the sand. Same thing they had for this one was Chris was smarter in the way that he attacked it. And Corey may be stronger than Chris.
Right.
he looks stronger than Chris, but you know, he just had the strategy to do it. So yeah, like, listen, I got nothing bad to say about Chris and how he like how he performed. Like he was that straight monster.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And what I was wondering is like, what was your like initial thought on what your strategy would be going into this? Like, I know I probably would fucking die after doing one box up that hill. But that was my initial thought is like, make it as easy and try to be as quick as possible and do one box at a time, make the four trips or try to take a couple, you know, a little bit closer, shorten your distance in between.
Which I think is like what Desi and Michaela were doing. They were like the first time they took like two up and then one and then, you know, like that.
Yeah. So what would you?
No, I'm just not to come in last.
Not to come in last.
No, listen, it's 1 minute. It's 1 minute of whatever it is, right? To where I'm like, okay, you already know on day two they're going to allow you a chance to catch up. It always happens that way,
right?
Yeah. All right, so am I going to kill myself on day one, on the first challenge, knowing that there's like three other ones that I have to do, or I'm just going to make sure that I'm not the person that comes in last and get the penalty. And then when I do need that energy, then I'm going to try to use it. So I wouldn't even try to win that, because the 1 minute to me is not worth me being gassed, was so gassed that it's affecting me on the rest of the challenges.
That's actually a really good point, because, and this was something different that TJ normally doesn't do in a final, but at the very start of day one, he told them what they were going to be doing on day two. He said it's a 10-mile run up the mountain. So they knew exactly what they were going to have to do on day two. So that's actually a really good point. Like, save that energy and just keep yourself on that zero mark, you know, where you're just starting at zero and catch up with whoever might have a point ahead of you or whatever, you know. That's actually really smart.
Yeah. And you know what? That is probably the best way to look at it. I was really surprised in this that Corey got last. You know, it really surprised me, especially after the double down. And, you know, so he ends up getting last, losing 2 minutes. On the other side, Tori gets last, loses a minute. And then the winners were Michaela and Chris, which honestly, from everything Michaela's shown us this season, I wasn't really surprised she got first.
No.
I was more surprised that Chanel got ahead of Desi and finished in second.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's hard to say, like, with Chanel, because obviously, like, I think she's really strong. You know, we've seen her show some strength. She's got them big old thighs, like, you know, so she probably didn't have as much trouble. But it's also hard to say, because we didn't get to see a whole lot from her this season other than the one elimination. And, you know,
but
she's a bit of an enigma.
But to what Danny was saying, too, Desi was probably reserving energy, not trying to go as hard as she could. You know what I mean? And knowing that, look, there's going to be a second day. There's going to be another skills test after this.
Right.
So anyways, after this, we get to the smarts, which obviously is spelling. We already kind of dove into this. Look, what we learned from this, Tori doesn't know when people say plural words.
Schmoozing.
Corey can't spell. He made it. He was up front. He was like, look, who spells anymore with autocorrect? Like, so at least he was honest about it.
Like, how old is Corey? Like, was there no phonics in
He wasn't hooked on it, Danny.
We don't sound it out anymore with the schmoop. Like, we don't do that.
Right.
Vengeance. We don't just like, yeah, well, listen, whatever it sounds like when I say it as fast as I can, that's how I'm gonna spell it.
That's
how
it look, that must be right.
How we teach our kids, like, do it with the syllables, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah,
the range of ways to spell vengeance that I never knew. Like, wow.
Oh my god. Like, almost nobody got that one right.
Tori,
like,
did.
Bananas, Desi, and Tori were the only ones who got vengeance right.
The only one where I'm like, okay, I can kind of understand it is the G-A-N-C-E without putting the E in there, where I'm like, okay, if you say it fast, then maybe whatever, you haven't spelled it in a long time. But I was like, well, how did you get that?
Chanel had two G's. Chanel was working with two G's in there.
Yeah, she was. You know,
it's not possible. I've never heard anybody say it that way.
And then Corey, you know, with his...
Vinaganzi. That's how you say vengeance in Italian. Vinaganzi. Hey, I'm going to get my Vinaganzi.
Oh, man. It was perfect.
That's why I love spelling. Because the spelling things... Everybody knows that nobody is good at it. So it then just becomes the lighthearted bit of any challenge, where they basically just talk shit about each other for the duration of the challenge.
Desi's confessional, where she's like, people are like really bad spellers, like really bad spellers.
It reminded me of Devin when they were doing the long division. He's like, how are these people alive?
Oh, I have that one too.
Oh, Jesus.
How are you still alive?
You know what I mean?
it was great. But this one was the one that it was Desi and Chris were the ones who doubled down on this one.
Yeah. And then Bananas won the guys.
Bananas won and Desi won. So she got the 2 minute advantage. And Chris ended up just not getting any, because if you double down and don't lose, you don't lose any time.
Right. Yeah. If you come in like second or third, you don't lose anything. You just don't get anything either. Yeah.
I was initially confused on that. I initially thought that if you double down on it, and you weren't the winner, that you lost 2 minutes. And then because it happened to Corey because he lost, that even further confirmed how right I was in being wrong. And then the next time came around, nothing happened. I was like, okay, I've definitely missed something.
Well, I caught on to it when it was Corey and Fessel going up the hill with the sled, and TJ was yelling at Corey, and he's like, come on, bro, you got that double down. You cannot come in last. You got to beat Fessy. And I was like, oh, so if he, as long as he doesn't come in last, he's okay. And that was when it set in for me. But
I heard that. I just didn't retain it.
Look, I'm going to be honest. I'm not the smartest man, because I thought if you double down and lost, you went down 3 minutes. And it took me like till the third skills test to realize, no, bro, it's only 2 minutes.
One doubled is two. Yeah.
Well, I thought you got the 2 minutes and then the 1 minute on top of that.
Carry like,
there
the
was
one.
A layer. I got to move something from my checking to my savings to my checkings. Oh, anyways.
You like 20 minute delay if you lose a ball.
I'm just going to say I relate with Tori. I didn't hear the S.
Corey starts like the day later.
I heard the S, I heard the plural, but like I can totally see how that could happen out there. And I was actually going to ask you guys like what you thought about that. Like, is there a way, because obviously like they can't show them the word on a board because it's a spelling test. So like, is there a way to like mitigate that kind of issue? Or is that just like that kind of shit just happens and sucks if it happens to you kind of thing?
I feel like it's on Tori. She should have said, hey, I didn't hear that. Say that again. That's all you gotta do.
Well, when everybody else hears it except one, then that's when you're like, all right, well, nah, we good. But if everybody else didn't make it plural, then you're like, okay, maybe there was a mistake.
Right.
Could they like ask a question and be like, can you use that in a sentence?
Yeah. Is that like plural, singular?
They probably did and just didn't show it.
Yeah.
Like the real spelling bee. Can you tell me the origin?
I mean, to be fair, TJ did use it in a sentence. He was like, on the challenge, it's important to have alliances. So like he did technically put it in a sentence.
Technically he did.
So Corey and Tori end up losing this one too. So now they've both got
Tori
this.
Writing thanks on her board and TJ told her she lost.
I was hoping it was gonna be an expletive like fuck off or something, but thanks was good.
Fuck you, TJ.
Yeah. Up next they got the skill test. The puzzle. Look, once he explained it to me, I was like, okay, so it's like reverse connect four. And then I saw the way Fessy and Tori
did. How did nobody else catch that?
Like, I thought they were all going to. Chris figured it out.
Chris was playing 3D chess.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was.
It was way more complicated than it needed to be.
Yeah. Same with Corey. Somehow he
got bananas too. Yeah. They all like had this like weird.
Yeah, but Corey's had like eight in a row, like back to back diagonally. Yo,
who was it? TJ was like, you got a lot of four. Yeah.
It was for Corey. Yeah.
You got a lot of four.
Yeah, bro. Like eight yellows, nine black.
Using somebody else's board to keep his line going.
Hey, false start on the whole right side of the offensive line. Like,
Loss of downs right there.
There's one part where Bananas is like, I just have to not get last on this. And then the very first thing he did was put four black in a row and two yellow. It was, that's your first tile. The rest of your board is blank.
What are you doing? Yeah.
The wild thing to me is this is day one. Like, they haven't even gotten like out of breath really yet.
They just drove to that checkpoint.
Yeah, at that point, all they did was... Yeah, only the sled was the physical part of that.
Yeah, point. Mm-hmm. And that was like two challenges before, and this looked like the sled looked like it was, to me, the way the lighting was, it looked kind of like late morning, where this looked like it was more towards the afternoon. So there was some time in between, you know what I mean? Anyways, the people that ended up doubling down on this one was Tori, Bananas, and Michaela.
That's right. This was the big one, yeah.
Yeah, Tori and Fessy end up winning this, and then... Desi and Corey are the ones that end up losing this challenge and get a minute, you know, taken back. So I think Desi's now at like a 1 minute advantage instead of having
the two. Yeah.
The two. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at this point, Corey starts to break down. This is his third skill set in a row. He's lost. He's starting to feel the pressure. You know what I mean?
I felt so bad for that. I felt so bad for him. Oh,
and like everybody was shocked that Corey was doing as poorly as he was, because even. Like, I heard Michaela say, like, that she's like, dang, Corey keeps losing points. But it sounded like she was genuinely shocked that Corey kept losing points.
It's the old, like, you're a parent and you tell your kids that like you could be great at anything, and then they really believe it, and then they get more and more frustrated as they can't, because you didn't tell them, hey man, if you're good at it, then you can be great. But if you don't know how to do it, you don't know how to do it. And it looked like in his mind he really expected to do better in stuff that he wasn't really good at in the first place.
Yeah.
Like he thought he had a chance at spelling. He was like, oh, yeah, okay. Maybe the puzzle. Like, Corey, you're not a puzzle guy. No.
What are you doing? Your best hope was the first one, was the strength one, buddy. Like, what are you
doing? Yeah. but he convinced himself, like, no, it's going to be my chance this time. And then so that I you can see that's where the frustration was coming in at. But, you know, shout out to him again, because I've seen a lot of people fold in that situation and be like, you know what? I'm going to just finish.
It speaks to his character hugely.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. Watching him sit there and have that moment where he was crying wasn't necessarily what broke my heart. It was his confessional talking about, you know, like, what if my daughters think I'm a loser? Like, and I was just like, oh, my God, my heart, you know, but, you know, and then. But seeing him like flip that around by the morning the next day where he was like, I'm done being a loser. I was like, yes, this is the Corey that we love. This is the Corey we need in the final, you know?
Well, and we're going to get into the second day
more. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to jump ahead, I loved that moment.
Look, let's be honest. If anyone's going to make time up in the run out of those four guys, it's probably Corey.
Yeah.
You know, who can make up multiple minutes. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, he, like, again, sorry to bury the lead for people who've already seen this and are listening to us talk about it, but Corey started 7 minutes behind the first place man.
Yeah, he had 2 minute head start. Wait, but yeah.
He was down five.
Yeah, he was down because he lost every single one. He gave him last
but
place.
But Bananas was up two.
Yep, Bananas had plus 2 minutes, had to wait, and then anybody had zero went, and then had to wait five more minutes.
You're right, yeah.
That's why TJ was like, you want to take a nap?
Yeah.
If they would have done the points the way that Rick and I thought they were, he could have taken a nap.
He could have. Yeah, he could have taken a really good nap. So the very final skill set was the steel stomach. Why they have to make all these with S's? They could.
What was with the S theme? I don't see why.
Challenge.
They just pick a. Okay.
They had to do something for the guy that was doing the stats last year on World Championships. You know what I mean? So he had to have a job. But. How'd you guys feel about the stinky tofu, the slimy Nim? I don't even know what the fuck that is, to be honest. But with mealworms and a cricket drizzle, exotic. It sounds nice when you say drizzle on it.
Sounds like a 5-star restaurant.
The wasabi crackers and then a loaded chili truffle.
I agree with Bananas exponentially that the best thing to ditch, because you only had to do three, was that wasabi cracker because it's so dry. Like, I've had those cracker things before. Mm-hmm, like, you are no longer however many percent water you're supposed to be when you're done eating those. You're like at 20%.
Drop down to like 40%.
Right.
Yeah, I'm losing that one.
Just
try not to come in last. I still believe that green drink from World Championship should have, like, if anything, if that black drink was close to that green one, man, I would have still been there. We had the wasabi cracker, and once you're already parched, you're already parched, and then you try to bite into that. Yeah, it just gets stuck everywhere.
I'm dropping the cracker too. Ooh.
I was shocked though. Like, Fessy pushed away the slimy thing, and like as nothing looked appetizing at all, but. The slimy thing will at least slide down your throat. You're choking down most of the rest of that stuff. And he was just like, no.
So for some people, it's a texture thing, you know? And,
oh, totally. Yeah.
And like you're saying, like, major props to Fessel, because I was sure he was going to finish last in the eating challenge, and he pulled out second. I was like, get it, Fessel. That's awesome.
TJ gave him props for improvement, which was nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had two cups, right?
Yeah, two cups of the dinky tofu sauerkraut.
Was it two cups each, right? Yeah. They killed it.
One of my favorite parts, though, was Michaela, like, plugging her ears and nom, 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 so she didn't have to hear TJ explain what it was.
She's like, I don't need to know what this is.
I can pretend whatever it is and get it down.
It reminded me, like, a little bit of Tori going, it's chicken nuggets.
It's a fucking chicken nugget. It's a fucking chicken nugget.
Just eat it, all right?
Back on Dirty 30. Yeah, that was fucking hilarious.
I love just watching Tori eat, though.
Oh, with the dance? Yeah.
She was killing it.
Dude, like Michaela's confessional about like her having like gas station palate, and then Tori cuts and she goes, "My dad used to make us American cheese dipped in ketchup, and I thought it was great. I fucking lost it." Look, like everybody knows I like Tori, but like that's the most white trash snack I've ever heard in my life.
That's a trailer park fucking snack. And I know because I've been there.
So Tori ends up winning this, and
she killed it.
Yeah, Bananas killed it too. Even with maybe taking that cracker out of the equation was the smarter move, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I loved Underwood stuck beside Corey, who was notoriously one of the most vocal spewers out of the entire group. Just like, stop throwing up. You're making me.
He was like, I could probably do this whole thing if it wasn't for everybody else throwing up around me. I was like, you're screwed on the challenge, yeah, bro, because there's always somebody throwing up.
Desi with the like, it's like a symphony of throw up and gags and people wrenching. It was like, oh, God.
Oh, look, I was happy they didn't do all the slow-mo.
As classical as music
in the previous seasons. I was like, okay, just let them throw up and just let them get it out. I wonder how hot that truffle was.
Yeah, that
I was thinking that too. Yeah,
like Chanel took a bite and immediately started gagging, and I was like, that thing is very hot.
Yeah. I did. Who was it that asked Bananas what Fessel a truffle did. Was?
He's like, what's a truffle? And Bananas was like, fungus. I was like, you're an asshole, Bananas.
I was like,
I mean, you're not wrong, but you're not right
in this situation.
That is the correct definition of a truffle.
Yeah, just English language there, you know what I mean? So Corey and Chanel end up losing this one. Bananas and Tori end up winning. And that's the end of day one. They show us them going to camp after this, and they sit there, make a fire, and just sit there and bullshit. And they
apparently.
Apparently. What we didn't see is there was a whole overnight portion. You heard more about it than I did.
So I don't know exactly, but they had to like.
I've got it.
Yeah, they had to like stand on these logs. You can go ahead. Tony.
It was a 12 by 12 and they had to stand on them and they had to step down when they thought that an hour had elapsed. And if they were under an hour or over an hour and 5 minutes, I think they had to do it again.
Yeah. And it took them like three tries or something. Like they all had to count in their heads and try to like, yeah, for an hour and then all try to step down at the same time. And if they didn't all step down at the same time within the right time frame, then they had to start all over and it took them like three tries. So it was like a 3 hour overnight, quote, overnight challenge. But
they've done that on a season, something like that on a season prior, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Bananas was in it for sure.
Yeah. And they've done variations of this, like the one they did on All Stars one where they had to stand up on those logs or on the.
Well, and even Rivals 3 when it was Bananas and Sarah and one person had to stand on the log while their partner got to sleep in the tent. And then they had to if they wanted to switch, they had to switch. They've used the standing on a log thing quite a bit, but I don't know about the counting thing.
I remember seeing the counting thing recently on one of the seasons. I'll have to look it up.
But Total Madness, maybe, because I know that there was a counting element, because I know that Fessy and Kyle had to stand outside the lodge and everybody else was inside the lodge, but I forget
what it was.
I'm going to remember it after we get off of here, and I'm assuming this is, but I know I've seen it, because as you're saying it I'm like, wait, I remember this. I can't right now, but I'll send a message over when I find it.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of remembering, before I forget, guys, listen to this ad from Spotify real quick.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for sticking through that ad. So at this point, we are getting started on day two of the final, where they wake up in the morning. TJ, obviously chipper as always, asking them how they slept and if they're ready. nobody's ready.
Nobody
slept really good.
Nobody wants to run 10 miles. What?
So one thing I want to go back to real quick is this is one of the things that I didn't like about this final is I felt like even though they didn't show us the overnight portion, it still wasn't anything compared to like what you guys had to do in World Championship even what you had to do in USA 1.
Yeah.
USA 1 was brutal.
Yeah.
Like World Championship, like we didn't have to like physically do anything. Like
you just had to stay awake.
All night anyways. Yeah. But I stay up all night anyways. I didn't do any of the face dunking or any of that. USA 1 with them damn wheelbarrows, man, that, it felt like it was never ending. And we didn't finish. Like, and we worked all night. We worked all night, man. I'm talking about probably till 6:30 a.m. and didn't finish. So, yeah. I'll take World Championship, Global, whatever they called it, over.
Global World Conglomerate.
As the sign says, this is some boo sheet.
Yeah. Look, and that's the thing is, like, people wanted to shit on the USA 1 final because of Sudoku, but it wasn't Sudoku. It was hypothermia that took out a majority of the competitors. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this one was, like, it just felt so... I don't know. AAA. It was just like it was a step down for me. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. The producers didn't think this one all the way through.
Right.
When playing.
I don't think it wasn't Justin. Justin Booth wasn't the.
Don't think so.
No.
He wasn't the guy this time either. So, yeah. So, I mean, you would naturally see a
difference.
You know,
yeah.
Different type of. Yeah.
Well, and you know, not to say that this wasn't difficult, because I think this portion of the challenge or the final was difficult. And this. You know, anytime you got to run up a mountain, and it wasn't like some of the ones we've seen where it's like run up a mountain, but it's like a hill like this. Like,
but it was
steep. It wasn't World Championship steep, but it was steep. You know what I mean?
Well, and on top of that, like it's so easy to look at a situation like this and what they were doing on day two and just be like, oh, that's easy. I could do that. I could carry a rock up a mountain. But no, the fuck you can't. OK, no, the fuck you can't.
Bro. Listen, I know that was hard because we had those little canisters.
Yeah.
And I think the canister was like 5 or 10 pounds, and it was probably the most noticeable 5 or 10 pounds I ever had in my life. So as I see them carrying this rock and Chris like 20, 25, 30, whatever that is, I'm like, man, I can't imagine how many times they had to stop and readjust because it's slipping and falling. It messes with your grip strength because we were able to just kind of sit it in our backpack, but they have to. Like, that's your forearms, your shoulders, like, your back. That's everything being affected by that on a 10-mile stretch. So,
yeah,
it was definitely difficult.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Tori showed in the confessional she had, like, the scrape on the back of her neck from carrying it like
all
that.
All the cuts on her neck.
Because she was carrying it on her shoulder.
And the terrain didn't look like, it didn't look like, for some of the times where they showed people, most noticeably Bananas, when he was walking up, like, through the woods, there wasn't really a defined path. It like some parts there were, but some parts there definitely weren't.
It did remind me a little bit of the All-Stars 1 final, you know, that second day of the final where they were kind of, it seemed like they were just traversing through like a jungle mountain with no path at all. And they just a general direction ahead.
They tie those little like red, like they'll put a color of something on trees, right? So then they're like, if you walk 10 minutes without seeing one of these ribbons, you're probably going the wrong way. But like, just follow red or follow white. And most of the time, they're close enough for you to see them. But I know that's how they navigated the ones we were doing anyways. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, we had a final reckoning moment.
Yeah, it was someone getting lost. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some interesting things about that moment.
Yeah, I have too. Well, the Natalie Fessy's one.
Mm-hmm.
With Fessy's moment, what happened?
I have not listened to it myself, so I cannot confirm it. But on either Official or Bananas podcast, somebody seemed to implicate that Fessy was aware that he was taking the shortcut and he was just going to try to convince them that the axe hit and stuck when he got there. So I don't know. I don't know who said it, and I don't know how much truth there is to it, but it was on one of those two podcasts, and I haven't listened to them yet because I don't like listening before we record. So apparently
I believe
he may have tried to do a little bit of some finagling. Yep.
I kind of believe it. Like you can't, like the sign was right there. It was right there. Like, and you went the same way Bananas went. You passed Bananas. You knew Bananas. How did that not click in your head that Bananas is on the shortcut? I'm passing him. I might not be going the right
way.
That
must mean I'm super smart and super fast.
Like, yeah, what I said, what does that tell you that somebody thinks about themselves? Yeah. 1.2, that's all I got to make up? I did that fast.
Yeah.
That took me like 3 minutes.
I beat Bananas before he even finished his shortcut.
Yeah.
Well, if you go back and listen to when Tori takes off, Tori's like, oh, yeah, I got to go that way.
Yep.
100%. But you didn't hear that with Fessy.
And the trails look completely different. The signs are completely different.
One says it trail, just... and the other says 1.2 kilometers.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking like, so Fessy and Bananas are cool. So as Fessy's walking by Bananas, there's no conversation here. Like, he's like, man, you killed that axe thing. And Fessy's like, I didn't hit that. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah. Man, and that's my thing is like they all act surprised when Fessy has to turn around and run back. They're like, what? For reals?
Here's my thing, though. This was my favorite realization about this moment. Production and the cameraman followed Fessel all the way through that shortcut and didn't say shit until he made it and sent him back. Like, how petty
they
is
knew.
That?
They
That's
fucking
so
knew.
Petty. So petty. They were like, you're going to have to go back.
So here. Really quick breaking this down. They have to do a 10-mile run with wrist stations. The very first wrist station that we're talking about is an axe throwing. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. You don't have to do the first two, but the third one you do have to do.
Right.
But if you're last place man or last place woman getting to checkpoint two, you're automatically eliminated. So
there are advantages if you do finish the first two.
And
right.
Obviously the first checkpoint is the axe throwing. If you finish that, you make the axe into the target. You get to take a 1.2-mile shortcut.
You get 5 tries.
I didn't mind the axe throwing part and the shortcut. It definitely determined who was winning this and who was getting eliminated right away if you couldn't land that axe.
Yeah.
Even with, well, maybe not with the disadvantages. It's hard to say because Corey hit that axe, on his like third throw or something like that. And with a 5-minute disadvantage at minimum. Well, 6 minutes on Fessy. He had a 6-minute disadvantage on Fessy and like still made that up.
It's like I have a problem listening or something. I didn't anticipate them getting cut at the second one. I thought that he had said the first two checkpoints are optional, but if you're the last man or woman to get the third checkpoint, then you're out. And when I watched it the first time, even watching it, it didn't really click until I was watching it to take notes. And then I was like, wait a minute. Why did they get eliminated at the second one? And then went back. I actually went back and listened. I was like, okay, right. But that would have made more sense to me because you've got two checkpoints that have a risk reward of if you play, you will get an advantage. And then the last two to get to the third checkpoint, which is mandatory, then you get cut because then it gives the option of I'm not going to take this risk. I'm just going to try to book it through and go past these. But instead, they didn't even get to participate in the second optional one.
Yeah, it was a weird kind of setup. Getting to the axe throwing thing, I was surprised Fessy didn't land it. I was not surprised Tori didn't. Watching her throw that, like, did she not watch anybody else throw the axe? She's over here like
so
she's fucking Paul Bunyan, just one-handed.
She stopped to watch Michaela, and she stopped to watch Desi. And then went back to doing what she was doing. But my favorite moment of that entire thing was one of her shots. They added in a cat scream when it went violently off.
Yeah.
Off point. All you hear is this like cat yowl.
Yeah.
Miso.
It's a cat that was laying on Fessy's chest earlier this season.
Right.
Michaela hit something behind the target at one point. She got it. She went over and stuck in the next board. I thought she would have got like bonus points.
It probably hit the tree.
One of the fucking key grips in the background.
As we're talking through this final, I'm like, man, you know what? If you weren't good at one specific thing, you didn't have a shot.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing is like the two people who didn't make the axe throw were eliminated, Fessy and Tori, right there. You know what I mean?
Maybe if Fessy took the long way around, he might have made it.
I think Yeah, I think he could have made it.
I think he would have beat Corey if he would have gone the right way. Yeah.
Well, he would have been moving faster knowing that he was behind. But after he caught bananas, he was probably like, oh, I'm good. I'm not coming.
It's
wild. And then getting to the scale portion, like the way Chris did it, like, was how I thought I would do it. Like
counting the rocks.
There's three really big ones. There's four medium and like two smalls or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was a bit confused at first, too. Well, you asked me about it.
I was confused.
The balance, because we thought it was going to have to be a balance.
Because he's like, balance the scale. And when you balance a scale, that scale is balanced. It's not like this, you know. And so when he said Chris was good, I was like, what? That's not balanced. But OK, I guess we're doing like, you know, it's like challenge math. They don't do real math. They have their own rules. And that's all right.
It's horseshoes, almost. So
did it just end up being as long as it didn't hit the...
As long as it didn't hit the ground. Yeah.
Yeah, as long as it didn't touch the ground.
And as soon as they said that, I was like, okay, so that's what they're talking. Just don't make it so off like bananas did where it just hits the ground. You know what I mean?
Shocked bananas failed that miserably on it.
The confessional was great. Well, miscalculated that one.
What I was impressed, Desi's.
Desi was so impressive. And then Corey, too. Desi and Corey got a perfect balance, like literal perfect balance. That thing didn't move.
I know how to use scales, fucking Corey.
Corey. I didn't know which way to go with that. Yeah.
If they're included in the edit, I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to say it, too. You know what I mean?
Jeezy.
Not sure what you're advertising here, Corey, but good for you.
You know you've done something amazing, though, when TJ's like, wow, Desi, because she pulled that thing and didn't even look like she pulled the trigger.
It didn't
fucking move at all. It was perfectly balanced.
Yeah. Like, and she took her time.
And she was also super smart, too, because she looked at it. She's like, there's only two scales.
I was literally about to ask you, Danny, what you thought of that moment, because I know, like, you know, you're friends with both, and you know, and like she said, they were like working together through that whole thing, and then she got up there and she hopped in before Michaela could even give a second thought. So is that like, is it just kind of fair gameplay at that point? Like, who
all that friendship and all that stuff is over when you get to the final, and it's just an individual final. Like, it's me against you, right? It's just like playing sports when you in between the white lines or on the basketball court and you in the game. There ain't no friends. And then once you get off, you're all right. So, Desi did the right thing. Michaela should have done that. But, you know.
Yeah.
She realized it, though, because you heard her right as Desi walked up. She's like, oh, okay, I guess you're going. You know, like she didn't, like she hesitated for that 1 second. And
she knew it. Yeah, exactly.
And it cost her.
I think, I honestly think, had she waited for bananas to fail and move on, like she probably could have done it and gotten an ATV, and she would have had a chance of beating Desi overall. Yeah.
She would have stayed ahead of Chanel.
Yeah, at least ahead of Chanel, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been a closer race.
Yeah, this is my biggest knock on the final right here, which is this decided who won right there. If you got there and you were in first place at this checkpoint and
you got an ATV in first place, you won. Yeah.
And that's how it basically played out, because Chris was the first guy. Desi was the first woman to figure out and get an ATV, and it was over at that point.
Yeah.
Now, we also, because there's not transparency with the challenge, we never get a timer, so we don't know how far behind Chanel was at this point or how far behind Corey was at this point. But they were able to make up enough ground that they both passed Michaela and Bananas as they were running. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
If the final puzzle was a little tougher...
Yeah.
The final puzzle on the last two seasons were a little tougher than that one. But if you're going to give them an ATV to give them that type of head start, then make the puzzle that much more difficult. So then it doesn't automatically then put that person, you know, as the winner or so far ahead of somebody who didn't get the ATV. Like, make it difficult. But you got Sudoku. I'd never seen this slide puzzle that we did. They've done more difficult puzzles than, you know, stack the bricks in the order of elimination. Like, everybody should know that.
100%.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Or make the ATV the first part, so you have time in the run at the end of it to make it up.
Well, and even, you know, like this, you know, obviously this isn't the first time that they've incorporated using ATVs in the final. They did this on War of the Worlds 1. And Kara was the one who won the advantage at the checkpoint and got to take the ATV up over. But which I didn't really like the ATV thing in that final either. However, I did like that once she got to the next checkpoint, she couldn't move on until somebody got there, because it was a two-person puzzle. So it kind of like
negated it.
It almost kind of negated the lead, but it still gave her a chance to rest. So there was still like a pro and a con to it. You know what I mean? So like, and I didn't mind that one as much, but this one, it was just like, if you got an ATV and you were in first, you were most likely going to win.
Yeah. And that's the thing, unless you completely bombed at that puzzle, but it wasn't that hard of a puzzle.
No. Yeah.
And like, we don't know how heavy the bricks are, but like, I don't expect they're heavy enough to negate not knowing the order of people leaving the game, because I mean, if you're getting ready to go to a final, you guys are probably going to quickly quiz each other the night before on the order of elimination, because that's coming up somewhere.
Exactly.
It's hard to forget the order of elimination, and when you're in that house with like nothing else to watch or do, like you know how it started, when your friend went home, when your enemy went home, you have a pretty good idea of how that worked. So
absolutely. And my other knock on this is it was such a long distance. Like, it was like 1.2, 1.4 miles, like, that they got to take an ATV compared to having to run or jog it uphill.
I will say, though, I did like, and obviously we don't know for sure, but just from, you know, the map that they were showing and then some of the terrain we saw while they were driving in the ATVs, I liked that the ATV portion was kind of the flat portion, and then they had to run up that hill to that last puzzle and then run up the summit. Yeah. So I didn't, I liked that the ATV wasn't the uphill portion. Like, you still had to run up that hill.
Yeah. It was just such a deciding factor. I mean, look at it. Corey was literally 7 minutes behind Bananas and passed him up and won by at least a couple minutes.
Knocked Fessel out and beat Bananas.
Yeah. So he made up that time crunch. Like we said, the puzzle is stack cinder blocks in an order of elimination, and it pretty much plays out as what place you get there is what place you leave this skill set.
Right.
And at that point, and this is where I feel like they could have really gave us that extra 30 minutes, because this second day of the challenge felt very kind of rushed. Like, we get to this puzzle and then all of a sudden Chris is at the end.
Right.
Like, it didn't feel like he had to run 2 or 3 miles to get there, where in USA One, we saw you finish Sudoku and then still had to run a huge portion because you're running on flat ground after the Sudoku puzzle from the edit. And then they show you up at towards the top of a fucking mountain. So it seems like there was a lot more of a run to it. Like, what, 3 miles or something?
Yeah, man, to be honest with you, I don't know. I know it was a lot of winding around in circles to get to the top of that thing in snow. I know that. I don't know how long it was, though. But it was a nice clip to where if Tyson would have finished that Sudoku, he probably would have had a chance to catch up. If he would have finished it in some type of time where it wasn't 20 minutes after.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, 100%. So anyways, Chris is the first guy that crosses the finish line. So goes from being in four eliminations, winning all four, to winning the last two dailies, the most important dailies, and then goes into the final and beats arguably the GOAT in Bananas, and everybody, you know, like, say what you want to say, Bananas' record in the final is impressive.
Yeah.
And Chris blew him out of the water in this. And then we get Corey finishing second for the guys, Bananas obviously third.
TJ telling Corey he's so proud of him, though. I was like,
oh my God.
That was dope.
He was a dad in that moment. When they pulled out from the hug, there was a look. And that was a total dad move.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, for sure. And then, of course, on the women, Desi gets her redemption and gets her first place in.
I cried. Yeah. I mean, literal tears.
I cried twice. I cried when I rewatched to take notes and I knew what was going to happen.
I didn't cry I'm sorry. Go ahead, Danny.
No. I was just saying, I'm so happy for her. Getting married, got the redemption. I'm talking about the arc of how it ended. Because I was there and I was like, working with her the whole season. I know how bad she wanted it, and then how good of a chance she had at competing for that. Not saying she would have won it, because Sarah and Angela are both beasts, but she had a good shot at competing to win that one. Now, you know, it would have sucked for me because I would have got less money if her and Sarah won. I mean, completed it, but, you know, I'm glad she got her full 250.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and I thought it was kind of one of those like irony moments when she did finally cross the, you know, the finish line. She touched the pole. And then she sits down in the literal exact same position that she had sat down to cry at the end of USA One when Enzo quit. She sat down in that exact same position crying because she just won. So it was like this like mirror moment. And it was just like, it was so cool to just see her so happy and so ecstatic that she was like crying and she was so proud of herself. And it was just, it was perfect. I'm so glad that Desi won. I'm sorry, I just hit my mic. I'm so glad that Desi won. She deserved it.
Oh, 100%. Look, like, and I was going to say, I didn't like full out like cry, but it was like that single tear of joy. Like,
with a little lump in my throat.
Yeah. She, and then her confessional, though, as she won, when they cut to her confessional, that's where it was, where she, you could see even after the fact how much it was still, it meant to her to do this. And it was lovely to watch.
Well, and just the irony of her winning on her second time, repeating what she was able to do with the Miss Virginia, you know, thing. So like, it was just everything felt like it was just meant to be for Desi. And it was just perfect.
So on the women's side, Chanel passed Michaela during the ATV portion and then was able to get the puzzle done. It looked like Michaela got there as Chanel was finishing up, if I'm remembering correctly.
I think so. And,
and Michaela gets the puzzle done and then she starts going up the mountain. It doesn't really give us much as far as like how far she got. But at that point, I'm assuming she's suffering from exhaustion and dehydration. And when they start asking her, are you feeling confused? And it looked like she was cramping up a little bit. It's dehydration. She couldn't
even move her legs. Yeah.
I think she passed out. I don't think she didn't remember. She said she was booking it, trying to make sure she didn't get too far behind with that ATV. You know, she pushed it a little bit too hard, but that's how hard she was going to where I'm going until my body just says I can't go anymore because she knew how far she was behind.
No one can falter on that either.
No. And to me, I mean, obviously, you know, she would love to get the win for the redemption, but she got the redemption from first out on the flagship to third place.
Yeah.
Against challenge champs, against other survivor champs, you know, it was impressive.
The thing about Michaela is her seasons of Survivor, you can tell that she is one of the most physical athletes to be on any one of these shows. Like she loses her top on Survivor, goes and gets the ball, waving through the wall. Like she don't care. And then you see it when they're doing the oiled up challenge. Or any other challenge, you just see how physical she is and how she snaps into a different mode once it's time to compete. So she, listen, any time she's on, she's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And you know, now she's a huge threat. So we'll see how she navigates that moving forward.
Look, like I know it's tough to go back to back, but 39 coming up. Like if she was in that, it's like hard to argue against her not being the favorite in that season to win it.
Well, you know what I mean? I actually do have some little bit of inside information.
Oh,
she apparently was asked to be on 39 during the final, like right after it or whatever. And she told them to go fuck themselves, which props to you for that, Michaela. Take your time off, girl. Like,
well earned. Get
your breather. Yeah, well earned. But I found that pretty interesting that they asked her, they wanted her on 39, but she, you know, and I don't blame her. I don't know that I could do back to back.
At least she got asked at a better time than Michelle, because Michelle got asked early on in this one. And she was like, before I'm still in the game. And you're already asking me to play the one that doesn't have a winner. So thanks for the confidence.
They already knew.
Yeah. The executive producer is like, are you though? Really?
Are you
really?
They saw the writing on the wall. They were like, wait, you're working. You're trying to do what? Play the middle? Nah, you know what? Let's just go ahead and get her ready for the next season.
You're doing too much. Let's just put you on 39.
Yeah. Look, here's my thing is, I think, sorry, my kid's going ham right now on his video game. If you hear him in the background, I think this season very much mirrored Challenge USA 1 in ways, you know? We saw the cream of the crop rise to the top and make the final.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I think if they would have brought in a stronger men, no shame to Seabass and a couple of the other guys that were on there from Survivor. But let's be honest, like the cream of the crop from each one rose to the top, you know, and it was pretty much who we all kind of saw in the beginning is like, these are the guys to look out for.
Yeah.
Same with the women. I mean, I remember, you know, right in the beginning where Wes was saying like, this might be the strongest women's cast that we've seen. And you can see out of this strong women's cast that there's really four girls that rise to the top, which was Michaela, Desi, Chanel, Tori. Those were the four girls we were all looking at.
And
I think it also mirrors in the fact that I think in your season of USA One, production was very fucked up, but it was like more of a reactionary mess up. Like, oh, we don't know how to deal with this situation, so we're just going to make a call. And it wasn't the right call, and we all saw it.
Right.
This one, they messed up with planning out the final the design of it. But I still feel like the best people won, and the people that were supposed to win won it, with you and Sarah, and then obviously with Desi and Chris this time.
Yeah.
And in both situations, I think we all look and say, God, we'd love to all see you guys come back for multiple seasons if available. You know what I mean? Right. Because you guys make great TV. You guys are great competitors. And look, there's some about these Survivor players on the challenge.
Yeah. Two seasons in a row.
Were y'all shocked that Survivor and Big Brother didn't band together at the beginning to take out the vets?
Yes. Yeah. There was only six vets. Why? What are you guys doing?
They could have been the first six votes.
Yeah. I'm like I didn't get it, but I don't know what the hell I think. Like, people go into the show and they see the vets who've been doing this for X amount of years. They had these relationships. You can look at them on social media and tell that they're real friends, and go on there and be like, I'm going to play the middle. I got some of them on my side. And then I'm like, you don't, though. Like, you're behind so many people in that pecking order that it doesn't even make sense for you to even try to get in there. You may as well just go ahead and try to get them out.
I think that a lot of that, and I saw it a lot in Cassidy, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that they put so much weight into those teams that they were in at the beginning of the season, and just like figured that that was just what the season was going to be. Us as fans, obviously, we knew TJ was going to split them at some point because that's what he does. He throws some kind of twist in that changes everything up, you know. But I think that a lot of people, because you even heard like Michaela when she was having that discussion with Wes, where she was like, we got to get rid of Bananas because he's their like guider, their leader. He's the one guiding them through the game, just like you're doing for us. And so I think a lot of the team saw their vet players as their like leader and just assumed that it was going to stay in teams forever. And that was a mistake. Yep. They should have been getting rid of their vet players immediately.
When I heard Tiffany was protecting Bananas, and then, like I said, I saw Chris making sure there's other, like, I think it was the green team where the Survivor girls were on. He helped the other team beat them and then end up going into that elimination. but before that, he's like, well, I got people on both sides. And, you know, Michaela's like, Chris is playing shady. Same thing with Michelle. And I'm like, you do realize. So Desi, Chanel and Michaela, if you have a full, like all in Chris and an all in Michelle, all of them are going to the final. Like, one of them may have to go into elimination because, you know, like, that's just how it works. But as far as running the game, you got all the numbers to go into the final. And then Tiffany knows some of the Survivor girls. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, she's definitely going to figure out a way to connect them so they can get out the vets. And when I heard she was with Bananas, I was like, oh, God, I don't understand.
I think part of what happened, too, is that first elimination where they see Tori and John A go at it. And Tori wasn't nice to John A in that situation. No. It kind of put some hesitancy in the girls of who's going to go against
who's going to take Tori out. Yeah,
you know what I mean? And then by time that like one of them could have done it, it was too late at that point. Like at that point, it's one of the girls, like either Michaela, Desi or Chanel is going to have to do it because
Cassidy ain't going to be Tori. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
And this is the thought process, though. And so you go in, right? And the first elimination is physical. All right. Mm-hmm. It's physical. So watching the shows, you say, OK, well, we may have one or two more physical eliminations left, probably one at the very end and one in the middle, but probably not back to back.
Right.
So if you do have a shot at beating Tori, and it's not because they're all scared of the physical eliminations, then you gotta go ahead, especially once you see the first one, you're like, okay, we got that one out the way. Now it's time, because the next one may be a puzzle, and let's get it figured out then versus waiting to the end. Because somebody like Tori is like, okay, we saw one at the beginning. Now everybody's going to be scared at the end, because if you haven't seen a hall brawl, then everybody's just like, okay, well, hall brawl's coming up, and I'm definitely not trying to go in last against Tori. Versus, okay, it's in the middle. Let's go ahead and take the shot. Like, I thought Michaela was going to do it, they showed her making a deal with Tori, which is fine, because obviously they all were confident that they could beat her in the final, and they were right. Mm-hmm. So, shout out to them for making the right decision. Don't just do it just to do it. If you think you can beat them, then you don't have to make that move, and they were correct.
That is something that I'm sorry, Josh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, yeah.
Okay. That is something that I am kind of surprised about that is changed over the years with the challenges. In the earlier seasons, they would always want to bring, like, one or two of the weakest players along, so they knew for a guarantee they were going to win. And it seems like in the last few years, that's kind of gone out the window, and it's either I want to bring my friends to the end, or I want to bring the strongest people to the end.
Well, it's like that confessional that Desi gave in that last, nomination where she won that daily. And she was like, I could put Tori up. I could go against my word again, but I'd rather stay like honorable to myself and try to beat her because I think I might actually have a chance. And I was like, that's super freaking cool. And then she fucking went and did it. So I'm like, hell yeah, dude, that's awesome.
I don't think there's many women that Desi couldn't beat. I'm just going to be honest. Like, maybe Jenny West could give her a run, but it would be close. It'd be really fucking close.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to the final with anybody where it's up in the air if I could beat them or not. Like, if it's a consideration of like, okay, if I'm not perfect or I don't do this as well as I should, that person's going to beat me, then for $250, it's not a chance I'm willing to take. Like, I don't want to prove myself to, it's like, hey, Jordan, oh, yeah, okay, well, I know if it's endurance, then okay, then he'll beat me. But if everything else goes in my favor, then I'll win. Like, why even worry about it?
Just get rid of him.
Just get him out. For Desi, it's like, okay, if she gives that speech and then Tori beats her, then we're all sitting here like, I guess.
Looking like a fool.
Look, I mean, the way it played out, they look smart, but you're right. It's a legitimate risk. Mm-hmm. I mean, all it takes is one of those axes to land and Chanel's out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then we might be having a totally different discussion because, Tori's endurance is.
She's got great endurance.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so do I think Tori could keep up with Desi going up that mountain? Yeah, I do think she could. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But
I think she would have done well on the scale thing, so.
Yeah, Tori's strong suit is not puzzles and figuring shit out.
Devin's not there to help her figure stuff out. Yeah, so.
I feel like Danny did all the weighted things in the world championship final anyway. So, you know what I mean?
Well, that was because I had done it before. I'll give her that.
He's like, I got this. I know what to do.
I guess I've got a couple questions. And the first one I'll start with is one that I asked before we got on the air. With Chris going in, four eliminations, two daily individual wins, and then a couple with the blue team, and winning the final, is he the best? Is this the best rookie season we've seen from a challenger?
I think it's relative. I think, and I'm not saying this because I haven't been into elimination. I think it's like what you value as a great rookie season. Like, you put yourself in a position to have to go into four eliminations. And fight your way through to get that win, or did you find a way not to have to go in? It's how you weigh it. Did he beast out, and with the chips that were dealt to him, or whatever position he put himself in, did he fight his way out of it and kill it? It was, to me, most impressive based on where he was at. I think I haven't seen anything like that, especially in the people that he beat. In those eliminations, and then also in the final, because those are three challenge vets that are in that final, guys who can win. So as far as that part goes, most impressive that I've seen. But like I said, this is relative to how you value whatever game.
I agree.
I'm impressed, and I can appreciate the fight that he had because he was fighting for something, and it worked out for him.
I agree. That's why I think it's more of like a Mount Rushmore theme, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think it belongs up there on the Mount Rushmore as well as yours was, right? Mm-hmm. Because it is so relative, because you were in a season where everyone was a quote unquote rookie to the challenge. So there was no targeting rookies, where mm-hmm. in this one, there were vets who were going to target rookie. We knew it was going to happen. And once they said someone's name, they were going to keep saying it over and over and over. And Chris happened to be that guy.
Yeah.
I put it on par with, as far as similar gameplay going into eliminations, is Orosio on Ride or Dies.
Right.
I mean, Orosio obviously went in five times, but, you know, he didn't win the final.
Individual dailies, and he didn't win the final.
Yeah. So his social gameplay is not good.
Yeah, but Chris's isn't good either. That's a wash. Look, Chris's right there. Isn't good.
This this is why every season is different as well. Because so Chris had no help in any elimination that he went in.
Right.
Chris went in there, figured it out, did it on his own. And then in Horacio's season, people were helping in some of those. You know, you're looking at it and you're saying, like, how did they end up winning? Which makes it to me less impressive if you have help. Chris went out there by himself, man on man, in all of those eliminations and beat whoever they put in front of him. And then some mm-hmm. of them wasn't even close. Like,
mm-hmm. and some of them against the house, not just against the person.
Yes. So I'm sitting there and I'm saying, Horacio's great. Like,
yeah.
He's a great competitor. Chris, I don't know. That one, it was one-on-one for him. It was physical. It was puzzles. It was figuring stuff out, strategy, all that stuff. And he just proved that he can do all of it against the West. He beat Tyler too, right?
Yeah, he beat West, Tyler, Seabass.
West,
Tyler, Lewis.
Seabass was
the Seabass one. Yeah, I don't know. But I did respect Tyler. I think Tyler is one of those sneaky
Wes and Tyler
type of guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Those were the really impressive ones to me.
And Lewis.
Well, and here's my thing is, do I think the overall gameplay and if I take a look at all of their eliminations, yes, I would give Chris the advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Where I really what impresses me with Orosio is going in and beating Jordan in elimination, like balls.
He should have lost that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think crazy. I think that adds lore to it, but it doesn't make it as difficult as what Chris had to do this season, in my opinion.
Now, Horacio and a balls in as a soccer player versus Jordan, he should win. Jordan played quarterback. He didn't tackle anybody. But Horacio is in shape. He got the footwork. To me, I'm looking at it, and to me, it would have been more impressive if Jordan would have went out there and got that win. To me, I would have been like, oh, shit, Jordan's what can't you do? Because,
yeah,
like, look at Horacio. I'm looking at him, I'm saying, this dude, he's an athlete.
Well, he did hit him with that Bijan Robinson cut, man, too. That was
rough. And that's when you say, his footwork is elite.
Yeah.
100%.
But I respect him, though.
And you're right. What it really does boil down to is, what do you value? Mm-hmm. You know, like, is it not going into the elimination at all and having a good social structure and playing the game? Because the whole idea is not to go home. So don't go into elimination. You know what I mean? And that's a very, I think, valuable point.
But you also got to credit, like, if people are helping you in an elimination, that's social currency, too, because clearly they want you there. So, like, it's I don't know. It's hard to compare those two. Yeah, it's so hard to compare their rookie seasons.
Or they hate Turbo.
They did hate Turbo, and they did hate Jay. They wanted Jay and Turbo the fuck out.
or they just hate them.
And I'm sorry, I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to run a final against Jay either. Like, I'm good. Bye.
I agree. I just when I listen to some of the. You always hear like, oh, they haven't earned their spot because they didn't go into elimination. I'm like, stupid. I'm like, the dumbest thing about that is, yeah, okay. Now you're like, I need to go in. And then you go in and then the whole house helps you lose. And then you didn't get to earn anything. And you just down there. You just went down there. You just lost. And they convinced you that you needed to prove something to them so they can get you sent home. And I'm like, don't fall for it, bro. You don't have to do that. You don't have to prove anything to them. And you know, if you lose because you are, then, you know, that's your fault.
It is now the final four immunity for Survivor, when you're now supposed to give it away and go up in fire against the person that you think you need to beat, instead of having a spot in the final tribal.
I don't agree, that's just me. I would never want to see elimination, but everybody's not like that, and that's fair.
That's the point of the game, like, and that's my thing. When, like you said, when people get upset and they're like, "Oh, they didn't do an elimination, they didn't earn their spot." The point of the game is to not go into elimination. That's the whole point, is to not go to elimination. So really, in my opinion, people who are able to play an entire season without going into elimination and make it to the final, whether they win or lose, like, that's an impeccable fucking season, in my opinion. Unless, like, it's clear that you're being saved as a layup, but, like, you can tell, like, with certain situations, like with your situation, clearly you were not being saved as a layup.
Nobody wanted to go against you,
and you had good social currency in USA One, and were able to play that, you know, and use that to your advantage. And I think that's, like, impressive as shit, because everybody there is there for the money. So if you're able to sneak past these people and make your way to have a chance at that money without having to see an elimination, that's impressive.
I mean, how about Corey getting Tori to vote for Josh? Like,
what?
Impressive.
Wow. What?
No elimination. You got like, you put in work to get that done, and you should be, like, you should be applauded for that. Not like, oh, Corey didn't go into elimination. Nah, he put in work to make sure his name didn't get said. He made the right deals and looked out for the right people, and it ended up working out for him.
Yeah.
Corey played a flawless game.
He played a really great
game. His only mistakes came in the first day of the final. That was it.
Yeah.
Just the wrong day for him to happen. That's all it was, you know?
Yeah.
Quick question. If they decide they wanted to do like a Challenge USA 3, but they wanted to pair you and Desi, you saying yes?
I gotta ask the wife. As of right now, I am still, I am removed from the challenge. I enjoyed it. But you, like I said, I got the 3-year-old at home, and I can't imagine leaving her for 6 weeks. Like, just figuring out, she's like, yeah, I want to go to soccer, daddy. I want to do this. Like, I understand now how Sarah felt and how tough it was for her, because her son's 7 and playing baseball and football and stuff, and missing her and able to actually vocalize it. I couldn't imagine making that FaceTime call home and, you know, the daughter's in there crying or something. I'm like, yeah, just get me out of here, bro. I'm leaving. Sorry, partner. Sorry, Desi. I got to Enzo you.
Right. Just send me into the elimination now.
Yeah, just send me.
Dang.
As a parent, obviously, like, we all get it. I was recording last night, and Sarah told me after I came back up that Malcolm asked for me at bedtime. And then she said that I was working because we're doing the podcast. And he said, no, he's not working. He's downstairs. And she's like, well, sometimes he goes to work at the other building, and sometimes he has to go to work downstairs. But I'm usually excommunicated at bedtime. It's mom or nothing. Well, it's nothing to do with me. So, of course, the night that I'm downstairs recording is the night that he, like, specifically asks for me to do bedtime, and I don't find out until afterwards.
Well, oh, poor guy.
And us all being parents get it. Like, dude, it's hard for me to go to work from 7 to 5. And then then when I get home, it's like, I feel like I missed the whole day of whatever he did. Mm-hmm. I mean, regardless, I got to work, I got to pay for the bills, but, you know, it's, you still miss it. And that's just a few hours out of a day. Do 6 weeks, man. That's a tough ask. And I get that, man. Yeah. Really, I do.
The other day, Harper pulled on my heartstrings. I went over to go see her, and as I was getting ready to leave, she pulled my arm, pulled me in the door, shut the door. She goes, I don't want you to leave anymore. I was like,
aww.
Damn.
Almost impossible, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So we all understand.
I'm just saying, if it's like a bunch of like layups and you and Des your partner, that's quick money. You just say, look, this is for your master's degree is what I'm doing right here.
Listen, if the money's right and the opportunity's right and all that stuff, then listen, like, duty calls. But, you know, at this moment, like, I enjoy watching it, and I'm like, I'm just sitting back, kind of like how I watch the NFL games now. Like, just like, I'm glad I'm not in there. I'm just enjoying it as a fan.
I love it, though.
No, I get it, man. I'd be in the same boat right there with you.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I think this might be a new record. It looks like we holy knocked out shit. A final in an hour 20.
I know, right?
Wow.
Crazy.
Well, it's because day one was just 4 checkers.
Yeah, they rushed through it too.
They're trying to make my life easy. Yeah.
Yeah, he still got to do this. No shit.
That's funny.
At this rate, we could have pulled an official and released it early and spoiled it for everybody. Oh,
God. I cannot believe that happened twice this season. How does that happen?
And then last season, was it 60 Minutes? Was it this season or last season where 60 Minutes was on, so it got pushed an hour?
It was this season, yeah.
It was this season. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, okay.
It kept happening, yeah. Yeah, yeah, so crazy.
This writer's strike kind of messed up a lot of things.
I posted in a group that I'm in, and I was just like, I just want everybody to know we will not watch it until Thursday, and we're not recording it until Saturday. We will not have any information out about anything that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, look, I hope they do a Challenge USA 3. I'm liking the way these are going. I like the cast that we're getting that's being brought in. I wouldn't even be opposed if we got all new people. We don't see any repeats, and maybe some people start moving over to the flagship. We'll see what happens.
It depends on what's happening with the flagship. I would really love to see them kind of reinvent the original like challenge show, but like on CBS, and make it like Survivor versus Big Brother, the challenge, or like do a three like cutthroat where it's like Survivor versus Big Brother versus the challenge, and everybody has 8 players or whatever it is, you know what I mean? And run it like a like cutthroat, like teams. Like that would be so cool.
I see you've also excluded Amazing Race.
Dusty ruined it for Amazing Race.
Yeah, I'm just following the challenge's lead at this point, okay? I'm tired of fighting with CBS.
She's actually being more fair because she's not just throwing two randomly in just to be sacrificed right away.
I can see that being next, though. I think that would be fun, depending on who they get. I think you would have to use some of the people who've already been on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that would be legit. Just make it even and then see what happens.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
Look, Danny knows how I feel about this guy because I've talked to him before about it. But low-key, I just keep hoping they do Challenge USA so Jonathan Young finally gets brought on.
Why was he not on USA 2? Like, that would have been crazy.
He said they didn't call him. Because that's the first part. I was like, hey, man, you going? He was like, no, they didn't hit me up.
What?
Dropping the ball.
And I don't know him personally, just so everybody knows. Like, it was just a message. I was like, hey, man, are you going? I hope they call you to go on there because you would kill it. He was like, no, they didn't call me.
What a miss. And he's not on 39 either. That's crazy.
How loud we have to be. Because, like, anybody who is a crossover fan of Survivor and the Challenge has at one point said Jonathan Young needs to be on the Challenge.
Yeah.
I just, maybe MTV saw the highlights and they're like, we can't do this to our people.
That's not fair. It's like bringing Jenny West back. Like, we're just going to leave her on the sidelines.
Yeah. Like, could you, like, the one person I really want to see in a hall brawl versus
just Fessy, walks through just
Jonathan did. Young.
Oh. I didn't think Fessy was going to be that worried about Corey.
He just had like an interview on Zach Nichols' podcast talking about how he could take Prime CT and all this stuff. But then he's like so worried about Corey. And I get it. Like, be safe than sorry, no matter what. But still, like, he was real nervous.
You want my real opinion?
What?
Ego. He doesn't want to have that blemish.
He doesn't want to struggle.
And he knows Corey is going to make him fucking work. You know what I mean? And if he loses. If he loses, then he's the guy that talked all that shit about hall brawl, told Danny he could beat him in a hall brawl, but lost to Corey.
Plus, he already had lost to Corey in the oil wrestling thing. You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
Yeah, that was surprising, but, it is what it is, right? Be safe, because I would have did the same thing. Yeah, let me go against him. I'm trying to get that money.
Give me bananas so I can just run through his ass.
Low-key, I'm not upset about them putting the pads in the hall, bro. I just didn't like the puzzle after.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that bothered me. It's still a hitting drill. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get the pads. Yeah.
They should have done the puzzle like they did with the swimming challenge on Global, where you only get two tries or three tries, whatever it was. And then if you get it wrong, that's it. Versus just letting you run back and forth. Especially as a short distance too, of like just in the sand going back and forth. Because Fessy never even stopped; he just kept running back.
Yeah.
Well, look, I was impressed by what Josh did in the actual hall brawl. It's not like he just got ran over like Kyle did. He put up a fight. You know, I do feel like Fessy might have held back a little bit because that's his boy. But you know, not like knowingly, like was like, I'm only going to go 80%, but like was like, I don't want to hit him that hard, you know, kind of thing. I don't know. Maybe not.
With those pads, it's a little hard to like get underneath somebody. Like you pretty can't even tell where the other person is at. So it's probably going to be difficult for anybody in that one.
Well, and I don't remember if it was like, if it was during the interview on the Zach Nichols podcast, or if it was in a confessional, or when he was talking to Josh about Hall Brawl, I'm not sure, but I remember him saying something about how, like, when you get like the pads and everything on, like the hallway is so small, like you can't even just like go straight in. You kind of have to like go at an angle. Mm-hmm. And that to me would also affect like how, like that initial impact if you're not, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
What I was thinking is,
I've never done it, so I don't know.
He was giving Josh those instructions, like you either go low or you jump over him. You go high and jump over him. I was like, why is if they both try to go low? What's going to happen here? You know what I mean?
Or if they both try to jump over and just run into each other.
Oh, shit. That'd be so funny.
Well, Danny, man, thank you so much for hopping on with us and recapping this.
Yeah, come to pass on the crown. I love it.
Appreciate y'all for having me.
Well, in the insight you give, like, you know, you playing with Desi, Noah, Michaela, and then also yourself being in two finals, dealing with production, knowing how everything goes, it gives us an insight into the challenge world that we don't see from the edit. You know what I mean? And we really appreciate you taking the time and, you know, tell Kiki thank you for letting us borrow you for 2 hours.
LSU, I think LSU plays at 2:30, so I'm on time to go fix me a drink, sit down, and get ready for the game.
I love it.
Yeah, we're gonna have to just start doing the same thing here, man. But Danny, thank you once again, man. You know, I'll be in touch. I'll be talking to you about 39.
Listen, I can't wait. I'm gonna watch it because it looks like it's gonna be a little messy and old school. I take it.
I'll take it. Look, I feel like there's going to be some surprises. Like some people are getting slept on that season that shouldn't be. I think all the focus is on Orosio, and there's some other people in there. You know what I mean? Some
really good players in there. Yeah. Yep.
Low key, watch out for Corey Lay. That one was for you, Josh.
Thank you, sir.
He's strong though.
Oh, he is. Yeah. You know.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny. Thanks, we appreciate it.
So awesome. Thank you so much.
And for everybody tuning in, thank you guys so much. So for myself, Ricky Hayes, my wife, Karina Hayes, Tony Lance, Josh Chambers, and of course, Danny McRae. You guys be good to each other, and we'll see you guys on 39.
Later.
See ya.
Bye.
All right, y'all. Tequila time.